Exame Final Nacional de Inglês, Prova 550, Época Especial. Ensino Secundário, 2019, 11º ano de escolaridade, continuação, Bienal. Vai agora realizar a parte A, compreensão do oral. Escute com muita atenção e siga as instruções. Mesmo que não compreenda alguma palavra ou frase, continue a resolver a prova e mantenha-se em silêncio. A parte A é composta por 8 itens relativos a dois textos, texto 1 e texto 2. Antes de ouvir cada texto, dispõe de alguns segundos para ler os respectivos itens. Vai ouvir cada texto duas vezes. Enquanto estiver a ouvir, pode anotar as suas respostas no enunciado. Lembre-se de que terá de as registar posteriormente na folha de respostas. Dispõe de alguns segundos no final de cada audição para registar e verificar as suas respostas. Atenção, toda a prova será em inglês. Vire agora à página do enunciado para dar início à parte A da prova, compreensão do oral.
Text 1. You will hear three teenagers speaking about the role of mobile phones in their lives. For item 1, match the names, Liam, Chloe or Aaron, in column A with the ideas they express in column B. All the ideas apply once. Use only one name for each idea. On your answer sheet, write only the names and the numbers. Now, read the ideas in column B. You have 20 seconds to read them. Now, listen. Liam.
I don't go anywhere without my mobile phone. It is a great tool. I know adults keep complaining that we're always using them, but the truth is that my mobile is a great help for homework. I use it to look up words for my language classes. I do research connected to all my different school subjects. I don't really know what I'd do without it. I think adults don't understand the potential of mobile phones. They only think about negative things, like, for example, that we don't get enough sleep, we get more distracted, or we're always sending text messages. Oh, yeah, and that we can no longer spell properly because of texting. As if. Anyway, I think mobile phones are the best invention ever.
Chloe.
For me, mobile phones are awesome. They give us independence and security at the same time. Just think about it. Your parents are just a phone call away if you need them. And because they know that, adults also give you more freedom. It's just great. Besides, I can also get in touch with my friends really easily, either by calling or texting them. And texting has become so simple with all the abbreviations. And, of course, emojis are really helpful too. Then, contrary to what many adults often say, mobiles also have a positive impact on what and how we learn. Look at all the educational apps available. We can learn anything using our mobile phones. Some of my teachers also let us use mobiles in class. I think this is especially useful in language classes, to look up a word or a definition.
Aaron.
Well, I can't say I'm addicted to my mobile phone, but it really is important to me. I know adults are right when they say mobiles have got lots of disadvantages, especially when we overuse them. I've got some friends that stay up all night texting and checking social media on their mobiles. Of course, they don't get enough sleep and then find it hard to concentrate in class and to keep up with their schoolwork. I think that also negatively affects their relationships at home, I suppose. Anyway, not in my case. I think I use my mobile in quite a sensible way. I even use it for school because I feel I've got all the information in the world at my fingertips. But I only use it outside the classroom, of course. It's a great research tool. Another thing is that I've got some language apps that have really helped me improve my pronunciation and encouraged me to learn new vocabulary. I'm even thinking about learning new languages.
Listen again. Liam.
I don't go anywhere without my mobile phone. It is a great tool. I know adults keep complaining that we're always using them, but the truth is that my mobile is a great help for homework. I use it to look up words for my language classes, I do research connected to all my different school subjects. I don't really know what I'd do without it. I think adults don't understand the potential of mobile phones. They only think about negative things, like, for example, that we don't get enough sleep, we get more distracted, or we're always sending text messages. Oh, yeah, and that we can no longer spell properly because of texting. As if. Anyway, I think mobile phones are the best invention ever.
Chloe.
For me, mobile phones are awesome. They give us independence and security at the same time. Just think about it. Your parents are just a phone call away if you need them. And because they know that, adults also give you more freedom. It's just great. Besides, I can also get in touch with my friends really easily, either by calling or texting them. And texting has become so simple with all the abbreviations. And, of course, emojis are really helpful too. Then, contrary to what many adults often say, mobiles also have a positive impact on what and how we learn. Look at all the educational apps available. We can learn anything using our mobile phones. Some of my teachers also let us use mobiles in class. I think this is especially useful in language classes, to look up a word or a definition.
Aaron.
Well, I can't say I'm addicted to my mobile phone, but it really is important to me. I know adults are right when they say mobiles have got lots of disadvantages, especially when we overuse them. I've got some friends that stay up all night texting and checking social media on their mobiles. Of course, they don't get enough sleep and then find it hard to concentrate in class and to keep up with their schoolwork. I think that also negatively affects their relationships at home, I suppose. Anyway, not in my case. I think I use my mobile in quite a sensible way. I even use it for school, because I feel I've got all the information in the world at my fingertips. But I only use it outside the classroom, of course. It's a great research tool. Another thing is that I've got some language apps that have really helped me improve my pronunciation and encouraged me to learn new vocabulary. I'm even thinking about learning new languages.
Now, check your answers. That is the end of the text one listening. Text two. You will hear a debate about the way we learn languages. For items 2.1 to 2.7, choose the correct option, A, B, or C. On your answer sheet, write only the numbers and the letters. You have 45 seconds to read the items. Now, listen. Good morning to our students and school staff. Today we're discussing how we learn languages. We have Dr. Ackerman from the Linguistics Department and Dr. Newport, a cognitive neuroscientist. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Ackerman, we have many students here today who are curious about how we learn languages. What can you tell us about it from a linguist's perspective?
Right. Well, that is really a very complex issue. We've only recently started to actually understand how our brain functions in terms of learning, retaining, and developing one or more languages.
Dr. Ackerman is right. We've been studying the way we acquire language for centuries, not only second languages, but also our mother tongue. Language is innate to humans. We all have the ability to learn any language, but how exactly we do that is quite difficult to pinpoint.
But you must have some idea.
Yes, we do. When it comes to our mother tongue, for example, babies spend their waking hours absorbing countless amounts of linguistic information, We know that they are able to make exceptionally accurate generalizations about the linguistic patterns they hear.
Yes, that's true. Every time they hear the word bottle mentioned by someone with a bottle in their hand, the child's brain jots down some notes on the possible relationship between the sound and the object. But associating words to objects is only half the story. The other half may be referred to as the use it or lose it principle. You tend to forget words that you do not use. But the factor to bear in mind is that children learn a language by means of social interactions. They need to employ it in social settings to be able to master it.
True. Sounds, for example. Babies are strategically able to narrow the range of speech sounds they hear and focus on the ones that exist around them. This is why it may be hard for someone learning a new language to distinguish sounds or even pronounce them if they don't exist in their native languages. Besides, if we consider that the articulation of sounds in any language requires the coordination of the same muscles, about 100, at a speed that enables around 15 speech sounds to be produced every second, we can understand how hard it really is to master any language.
What about young people and adults?
Well, young people and adults already speak at least one language, and this has a huge impact on any language that follows, because it is built into our brains. Besides, adults and young people are, contrary to children, afraid of making mistakes, because they are more vulnerable to feelings of shame and embarrassment. And being afraid is definitely an obstacle in language learning. But the biggest difference between learning as an adult and as a child, I believe, is that our brains are less plastic and more resistant to change.
I see. And why would you say is it so important for us to study these processes, Dr. Newport?
Well, language is essentially a system of symbols used to communicate, and communication is a crucial part of human life. Learning about it is actually a necessity. Today, the field of language research is really promising for young people, like our audience here today. If they like computers, for example, they can study computational linguistics, which looks at human language and tries to develop technology that is able to interpret and reproduce it.
Yes, that's important. But we mustn't forget the importance of studying our brain as far as learning is concerned. What we find also helps develop new methodologies to help students learn. I mean, 50 years ago, a language lesson was only about memorising grammar rules. But today, our concept of language has changed, as have language classes. I'm sure students are quite happy about that, as it has a much more direct impact on their lives than computational linguistics.
Well, I'm not so sure. If they knew that a computer was able to translate many of the books they need to read in different languages in just a few minutes as a result of computational linguistics research, maybe they would realise how this field could contribute to transform how we live and work.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ackerman and Dr. Newport. Let's now see if anyone in our audience has any questions. Listen again. Good morning to our students and school staff. Today we're discussing how we learn languages. We have Dr. Ackerman from the Linguistics Department and Dr. Newport, a cognitive neuroscientist. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Ackerman, we have many students here today who are curious about how we learn languages. What can you tell us about it from a linguist's perspective?
Right. Well, that is really a very complex issue. We've only recently started to actually understand how our brain functions in terms of learning, retaining, and developing one or more languages.
Dr. Ackerman is right. We've been studying the way we acquire language for centuries, not only second languages, but also our mother tongue. Language is innate to humans. We all have the ability to learn any language, but how exactly we do that is quite difficult to pinpoint.
But you must have some idea.
Yes, we do. When it comes to our mother tongue, for example, babies spend their waking hours absorbing countless amounts of linguistic information. We know that they are able to make exceptionally accurate generalizations about the linguistic patterns they hear.
Yes, that's true. Every time they hear the word bottle mentioned by someone with a bottle in their hand, the child's brain jots down some notes on the possible relationship between the sound and the object. But associating words to objects is only half the story. The other half may be referred to as the use it or lose it principle. You tend to forget words that you do not use. But the factor to bear in mind is that children learn a language by means of social interactions. they need to employ it in social settings to be able to master it.
True. Sounds, for example. Babies are strategically able to narrow the range of speech sounds they hear and focus on the ones that exist around them. This is why it may be hard for someone learning a new language to distinguish sounds or even pronounce them if they don't exist in their native languages. Besides, if we consider that the articulation of sounds in any language requires the coordination of the same muscles, about 100, at a speed that enables around 15 speech sounds to be produced every second, we can understand how hard it really is to master any language.
What about young people and adults?
Well, young people and adults already speak at least one language, and this has a huge impact on any language that follows, because it is built into our brains. Besides, adults and young people are, contrary to children, afraid of making mistakes, because they are more vulnerable to feelings of shame and embarrassment. And being afraid is definitely an obstacle in language learning. But the biggest difference between learning as an adult and as a child, I believe, is that our brains are less plastic and more resistant to change.
I see. And why would you say is it so important for us to study these processes, Dr. Newport?
Well, language is essentially a system of symbols used to communicate, and communication is a crucial part of human life. Learning about it is actually a necessity. Today, the field of language research is really promising for young people, like our audience here today. If they like computers, for example, they can study computational linguistics, which looks at human language and tries to develop technology that is able to interpret and reproduce it.
Yes, that's important. But we mustn't forget the importance of studying our brain as far as learning is concerned. What we find also helps develop new methodologies to help students learn. I mean, 50 years ago, a language lesson was only about memorising grammar rules. But today, our concept of language has changed, as have language classes. I'm sure students are quite happy about that, as it has a much more direct impact on their lives than computational linguistics.
Well, I'm not so sure. If they knew that a computer was able to translate many of the books they need to read in different languages in just a few minutes as a result of computational linguistics research, maybe they would realise how this field could contribute to transform how we live and work.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ackerman and Dr. Newport. Let's now see if anyone in our audience has any questions. Now, check your answers. That is the end of the Text 2 listening. That is the end of Part A.